saluted on. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before you, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy.
eat. Amen? All right, the coffee hadn't quite kicked in for you guys yet, but maybe you're going to get there. Let's try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, look around, give somebody a wave and a big old smile, because a smile says a lot. You know, we stopped back during the pandemic doing the handshake thing all over the place because we didn't want anybody to pass the love around. Now, you can shake hands on your own, that's personally, but that's a good way to do it. You know, I still remember in the pandemic, you know, we were talking about doing that one time, and then everybody just about started to run on us. But at any rate, we're glad you're here today. If you're part of our online audience, we're glad to have you on board with us. As always, I've got to mention our very own, I call him our online minister, Dr. John Cazito. Online folks, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can address those to Dr. Cazito, who flies under the banner of Central Baptist Church. As always, we appreciate everything that he does, and we want you to know you have a connection right here in this sanctuary as we speak. So we're looking forward to what God's going to do in each and every one of our hearts and lives today. As we have come seeking a blessing, he has promised that that he will provide that for us. So today, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful for this opportunity. Lord, at times we tend to take for granted the opportunities that we have to be able to come into your house and to be able to freely worship. Lord, we're grateful for the freedoms that we have and the opportunity by which to gather around your word. Lord, we realize that the days are changing, and we pray that you will continue to watch over us and protect us as we go forward. But Lord, for today, I pray that you will help us to truly give our mind to you. Lord, prayerfully, we've already given our hearts to you, but as always, if we pray, if there's one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they would give their life to you and experience what life and freedom is truly all about. But Lord, today, help us to keep our concentration upon you, because your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, we also realize that if we look for the blessing in your word today, we will receive it, and it will be personal, and it will be for us. So Father, we ask that you would just help keep us from distraction, anything that would hinder your Holy Spirit today. Lord, may you just alleviate that as we come to you in prayer. Lord, as we take these moments to worship you in song, I pray that we will concentrate upon the words that we are saying, that they truly would come from our heart. And Lord, they would truly be an act of worship for you. And Lord, today we just pray that all that we do might magnify you. So Lord, have your will and way as only you can. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please stay with me as we sing "I Am Thine, O Lord," 290.
Call me here,
Thank you.
Please turn with me to 291, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
If you got your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Daniel chapter 5. So if you've got your Bible with you, and as always, I hope you do, we're going to be looking at passages that come from Daniel chapter 5. And if I were to ask you the question, have you ever experienced, you know, a moment in your life where you felt like God was trying to get your attention? How many of you would say, yep, I know what you're talking about, where God was trying to get your attention? Now, sometimes you could put your finger on exactly what it was, and other times you acted like you couldn't put your finger exactly where it was, but you actually did know where it was. You just decided to kind of turn and look the other way. I titled this morning's message, The Handwriting on the Wall, but I could have, I went with that one because I guess that would be a little bit more politically correct than the one that I was thinking. Because first, originally, I was thinking I would call it Ode to a Hardhead. So where are my hard-headed people out there? Hallelujah. You are my folks. Because all of us have been in situations, that this is if you follow the Lord any more than a couple of days, you have been in circumstances or situations or moments in your life where you felt like God was trying to get your attention about something. So in the story of Belshazzar that we're going to be looking at today in Daniel chapter 5, we see about this feast that he was having, okay, and how God used a mysterious message written on the wall to speak to a king who had ignored him for too long. Now, many of us, if we're honest with ourselves and, you know, to thine own self be truth, you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody, but each and every one of us have been in that circumstance or situation where God has been trying to get our attention about something, and we have ignored him. And the Lord's like, hey, look, we need to talk about this, and you've ignored him. The Lord's like, hey, we need to do something about this, and you've ignored him. And some of you in here have worked in management, and you've had employees that have done that to you before. And you know how frazzling mad that makes you. It's like nothing has been addressed in this issue that we are talking about. But one of the things that I can say right off the cuff is that the Lord, many times people will go to this, they'll say the Lord is patient, and he is. The Lord is long-suffering, and he is. But let me tell you something, and here, if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear this today. There is a point and a time where the patience of God runs out. Did you hear me? You know, some of us maybe here or some that are watching may have gone through a situation and you have been ignoring what it is that God has been trying to say to you. You have been ignoring him, trying to get your attention now for years. Now, I'm not talking about days. Some of you may be days. Some of you may be some of you for years. But God's patience is eventually going to run out. Now, I can point to an example. Look at Israel. I love what the word kind of, I guess you would say it's an adjective. English people, don't get mad at me if I got this wrong. An adjective is something that describes, right? Okay? All right, so the adjective that was used where God called Israel, remember what he called them? A stiff-necked people. Israel, you know, they had that vicious circle, but they actually were in the presence of God, seeing what God was doing, and one minute everything was great, the next minute it wasn't. And remember, God's patience ran out with them at a place called Kadesh Barnea. You remember? They had exited Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey that God had promised them. And yet one minute, Moses is the greatest guy on the face of the planet, and the next minute, they want to stone him to death because he was their voice from God. And if they didn't like what was going on one minute, they're sitting there going, man, look, man, Moses is so cool. He got us out of Egypt. We're not having to make bricks. We're not having to work. We're going to get to go worship. Moses is a great guy. And then almost like the next day, they're like, let's kill this guy. He's done brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Remember what they said? They actually said, were there not enough graves for us back in Egypt? There was enough. There was at least food for us. And at times, we want to run back where it's comfortable. We want to run back to Egypt. But they got to that spot at Kadesh Barnea, and God said, there it is. There's the land. Go get it. Remember what they did. They sent the 12 spies out. And when they came back, 10 of them said, no, no, no. And different sermon for a different day, but if you remember, 10 of them came back, and the report was, they said, we look like grasshoppers in their land. There's a reason for that. Remember the giants? I believe when he said that we look like grasshoppers in their sight, that's exactly what he meant. We can't do this. We can't do it. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, let's do it now. Why? Because God told us we could. And remember, they waffled. They sat back and God's like, listen, I told you this was your land. I told you to go get it. I told you that I would make you victorious in battle, and here you are once again doubting what I am telling you. Enough is enough. Now remember, overnight, they changed their minds. And they said, okay, we'll go. So they went back to Moses and said, hey, we're going to go. Moses said, well, if you're going to go, you're going to go without me, but more importantly, you're going to go without God, and you're going without the ark. God has drawn a line in the sand. So what did they do? They did what us hard-headed people do. They went ahead and went anyway, and they died. And if you remember, that moment of disobedience caused them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Now, folks, I can only wonder today, because the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, but I can only wonder how many of us are in the wilderness because we were disobedient at the border of the promise. That sounded pretty good, didn't it? That sounded like some Bible guy did that. How many of us are in the wilderness today because we were disobedient at the border of the promise? So when we get over here, we find where God had actually been good to Belshazzar's daddy. Remember what his name was, Belshazzar's daddy? Somebody help me out here. I know it's Old Testament. I don't want to freak y'all out. What? Nebuchadnezzar. All right, that was Belshazzar's daddy. Now, look with me, if you would, at Daniel chapter 5, and just to kind of bring you up to speed where we are, Belshazzar is not following, you know, God's command. Belshazzar is having this gigantic party that's going on. He's got all of his wives. He's got all of his concubines. It says they're having the party of all parties. They are indulging in, you know, in the wine. And then Belshazzar says, hey, man, we're having such a good time. I got an idea. He said, you know, let's go down there and let's go get some of the cups that were used in temple worship that we have taken captive, and let's drink wine out of them. Now, folks, this was making a mockery. This was disrespectful to God Almighty. It was making a mockery of who he was. Hey, let's go get the sacred cups that were used for temple worship, and let's party with them. And that's what they did. Now, remember what I said a moment ago. God is patient and God is long-suffering, but there comes a point and a time where God's patience runs out. And in the life of Belshazzar, when we get down to our passage in Daniel chapter 5, I'm going to pick it up so you know what's going on. There's a big party that's taking place, tons of people around there, lots of wines flowing, everybody's feeling good. They're making a mockery out of who God is, and they're being very disrespectful to God. So let's pick it up. Daniel chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, says this. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself. Now, let me pause for just a moment and bring you back up to speed a little bit, because I left a little bit of it out for the sake of time. So anyway, what happens is, all of a sudden, in the midst of the big party, Belshazzar sees a vision of a man's hand that comes up and it writes a message on the wall. Now, somebody might have sat back and said, maybe that was just the wine speaking, but no. When the hand was gone, the message was still on the wall. And at this particular point, Belshazzar knows there is a meaning to this particular message. So what does he do? He does what most kings do. He calls his wise men together, the ones that should know, and they said, what does this mean? And they look at it and say, let me study this for a moment. I don't know. So all of Belshazzar's fellas cannot, you know, they can't interpret this message. So it goes on, it says, so the queen says, I know a guy. And I'm paraphrasing here, by the way. I'm not speaking to you in New King James right now. She says, I know a guy who can handle this. And that guy was who? Daniel. And, well, hey, what do we got to lose? Bring Daniel over here. And he makes these promises. He says, oh, here are the things that I'm going to give you. I'll give you a robe. I'll make you, you know, the second in the kingdom, as it were. I'll give you all this stuff. So Daniel comes to Belshazzar, and right here at this particular point is where we pick it up. Let me go back again to verse 17, Daniel 5:17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. And I'm sure at that particular point, Belshazzar goes, oh, great. This guy knows what it is. So today, the mystery is going to be solved. Verse 18, O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. Verse 20, but when his heart was filled up and his spirit was hardened in pride. Did you get that? When his spirit was hardened in what? When his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. Verse 22, but you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of the house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk the wine from them, and you have praised the gods, that's with a little g, the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, and the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the finger of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written. Verse 25, and this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. Verse 26 says, and this is the interpretation of each word. Mene, what that means is God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Well, that all sounds good at that particular point for Belshazzar, doesn't it? And you would sit back and think, okay, he has been able to interpret what it is that God had written to Belshazzar. So Belshazzar says, I'm going to give Daniel everything that I said that I was going to give him. We'll put the robe on him. We'll do all this. I now understand what the message is, but I want you to pay very careful attention to what comes next in the scripture. He just got the message, right? He just got the understanding of what it means. Now look at verse 30. That very night, I want to pause so that will sink in. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Medes received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Did you understand the thrust of this? The thrust of it is that very night. You see, often what happens is right now, when the Lord is knocking on that heart's door of yours, and listen, some of us have put him off for years. Some of you, maybe not that long, but yet God's patience and his long-suffering. Remember what I said a minute ago? His patience and long-suffering will come to an end. You've been that way before. How many parents do I have in here? If you're a parent, you've done that with your children, haven't you? You've sat back and you've said, I'm giving you warning. Hey, first of all, it's a command. This is what you need to do. Then all of a sudden it didn't get done. And the hands go to the hips. Remember what I said this sermon should be? Ode to the hard head. How many of y'all had hard heads for children? How many of you were that hard head? Your parents probably prayed, God, I pray you give them children just like them. So all of a sudden, mom and dad come back and say, hey, maybe you didn't hear me a minute ago when I said this needs to be done. You're a good parent. You're giving them a chance. It must have been a breakdown in communication. So then you let them go, and then you come back, and it's still not done. Now, like I said, God is patient, God is long-suffering. Roy is not. And probably you aren't either. See, we usually go to the sports adage, three strikes, and you're what? Action begins to happen when strike three happens. So then you come back again, and then you try the old thing about, hey, we talked about this. I told you what I needed done. I clarified that you understood when it needed to be done. And I also told you that didn't mean next year. What is that? That old adage that goes around that says, wives, listen, you need to quit pestering your husband. You might ask him to do something. Just be patient. He'll get around to it before next year. So you want it done now. And then you come up at some point and you're like, hey, I'm done talking. How many of y'all have ever used that term? I'm done talking. Now it's time for action. Because we sit back and go, oh, Lord, action speaks louder than words. Board of Education to the seat of learning or some other method along the way generally happens. But God is patient with us. He has come to us in your life. He has pointed out some area. And you have pulled a Jonah. Now, some of y'all are going, what's a Jonah? Remember when God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, okay. Did he go to Nineveh? He went the 100% or 180 degrees from Nineveh. He was going the wrong way. Why? Because he didn't like the Ninevites. In fact, I'd go as far as to say he couldn't stand them. And in his heart, he said, he was looking at the Lord going, yes, Lord, I'll go. And in his heart, he was saying, I can't stand those people. I wouldn't even set foot on their ground. And see, some of y'all are doing that today. Now, let me give you this real theological thing. Are you ready? Here's the real theological thing for you to grasp today. You are not fooling God. Because God knows your heart. God knew the heart of Jonah. And God knows your heart. And you know what? For some of you today, what is going on is time is running out. And for some of you today, God is saying, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And time is running away. I can still remember at certain times. Stop wasting your life. You know, one of the things that most of us begin to understand, at least as you get a few years older, you begin to understand that time is more valuable than money. Because once time is spent, it can never be brought back. I still remember I was at a movie one time, and it was a horrible movie. And I still remember what a guy said. He said, well, I just wasted 2 hours of my life. It's gone. And the thing about it is, for some of us today, God is at that point. And the message for you is, I have weighed you in the balance. And you have been found wanting. Now, he is giving you a chance to repent, to turn around, to head back to him. Because eventually, you will say no for the final time. Can God... Listen, God, what did it say about when it was talking about Nebuchadnezzar? If Nebuchadnezzar wanted you to live, you lived. If Nebuchadnezzar wanted you to die, you died. And Belshazzar knew all this. That was his daddy. He grew up in that household, and he saw what God could do on the blessing side, but he also saw what God could do when you turn away from him. And he even told him why. He said, Belshazzar, your pride has gotten you in trouble. Your pride has made you write checks that your body can't cash. And today, God's getting some of our attentions. But you see, at this particular point for Belshazzar, time was over. That was the party, the disrespect, everything that was going on was the final straw. And it says in verse 30, that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So in Daniel chapter 5, we see about King Belshazzar and his feast and the eating and the drinking and being merry. And I'm sure it was a very festive gala event, as it were. I'm sure everybody was having a good time. And then all of a sudden, everything got crazy, didn't it? I mean, I really kind of would like to have seen that. I thought about some of these things that we read about in the Bible. I mean, could you imagine being in attendance at this party? You know, the one you shouldn't have been at to start with. And all of a sudden, everybody is having a good time. They're footloose, they're fancy free. And all of a sudden, you see, and the word tells us, it says what looks like a man's hand comes up and it starts writing on the wall. I don't know about you, I think I'd be freaking out at that point. I'd be like, man, maybe I shouldn't have no more of that wine. Maybe I should back off of it. But yet it said something nobody knew except the prophet. Except Daniel. Remember, they all tried to come in. Hey, I know a guy. And he came in and he told him what it was all about. It's interesting what we see. That Belshazzar in this passage today should serve to us as a warning about choosing to ignore God's command, about choosing to live in rebellion. See, just as Belshazzar faced the consequences of his actions, we too will face judgment if we do not repent and turn back to God. See, as parents, one of those other things that we used to do is we used to say this. You know, you would nicely ask, and then when it didn't get done, you'd come back and say, hey, remember what we talked about over here? And you'd give a chance. And then all of a sudden, you know, you'd go back, and then finally your tone would change. And you'd say, excuse me, I'm not asking you to do this. I'm telling you to do this. And for some odd reason, we felt like that was going to make a difference. Now, it very clearly stated our position. This is not a request. This is not something that you can continue to ignore. This is a command. And I'm making sure that you're hearing very clearly what needs to take place. Now, I'm not asking you anymore. I'm telling you, this needs to be done. And when it doesn't get done, there's a consequences. You see, Daniel's interpretation of the writing on the wall revealed that Belshazzar had been weighed in the balances and found wanting. His kingdom would be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And this should serve as a reminder that God is the ultimate judge who will hold us accountable for our actions. And sometimes our pride makes us think we're above all of that. So as we think about these particular passages today in Daniel chapter 5, as we reflect upon them, and as we listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking into our hearts, we need to examine our own lives and see if there are areas where we have been ignoring the voice of God. That's about the most plain, simple way to put it. Are there areas that you have been ignoring? Not that you didn't hear it. Have you ever been ignored by somebody? And you're sitting there and you're like, hey, you know, we need this or need that. And then you sit back and go, I know they heard me. My voice carries. They're acting like they didn't hear me. No, they were ignoring you. Listen, don't ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life today. May we not wait until it is too late to repent and turn back to Him like it was for Belshazzar. May we heed the warning of the handwriting on the wall, and may we seek to seek His forgiveness and His restoration in our relationship together. Think about it. Today, here's the interesting part. We don't have any trouble understanding what happened in this story, do we? Because it's written right there. And we're like, oh, okay, I can see that. You know, if I was standing there and some big hand came out and started writing on the wall up there what I needed to do, I think I could get that. Well, guess what? That is exactly what's going on in this room today. That is exactly what's going on as you watch from home or wherever you may be. There is handwriting on the wall. It's called the Holy Spirit, and you already know what it is that He's telling you that you've been ignoring. That's the handwriting on the wall, okay? So let me get real pastoral here for a minute. Don't be a hardhead. Don't ignore the handwriting on the wall. God has said, here's what needs to happen. Maybe your life, I like to say it like this because people understand it. Maybe your life feels like it's in the vortex of the toilet. You know, when you flush it and it's spinning around and it's getting ready to go down. Maybe you feel like your life is in that vortex. And the Lord is sitting there going, I've got plans for you. I can deliver you. But listen, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to do it my way. I'm going to throw you a rope. It's up to you to take hold of the rope. Listen, God's not going to force His way into your situation. But He sits there and He says, hey, I'm going to open the door for you right here. All you have to do is walk through it. Is the handwriting that you're seeing on the wall, the Holy Spirit's wall today, saying simply this? You have been weighed in the balance, and you have been found wanting. This preacher don't know what's going on between you and God right now. But I can tell you this, that the Lord is speaking to you. He's telling you something. He might be giving you an attaboy. He might be reminding you of a time that He was faithful in your life when you did the right thing. Or He may be looking at you saying, your chances are running out. You're flirting with disaster. And if you keep on, this is your final warning. Here's the thing. You don't ever know when it's your final warning. It's so ironic how you can tell people things like that, and then all of a sudden the attitude changes when the hammer falls, right? All of a sudden, your children that you've had to discipline come around to your way of thinking when there's a cost. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, I'll do that now. Oh, I'll do that. No. You had three chances, and you blatantly abused that. Listen, I'll be willing to say, God, there's not enough digits on my hands and my feet to count the number of times that God has been patient with you and with me. Is this your last chance? What are you going to do with it? Just as Belshazzar's kingdom came to an end because of his disobedience, we too will face consequences if we continue to live in rebellion towards God. So let us learn from his example. Let us choose to follow God's way so that we may experience his blessing and so that we may experience his favor in our lives. I sit back all the time and I think about how God has shown up. And you know what? He puts us in situations that we can't handle. How many of you get that? How many of you have God put in a situation that you can't handle? Wow. Rest of y'all need to get saved. You know why God does that? God does that so that when he shows up in your life, you know he showed up in your life because you can't do it. And because you can't do it, God does it. And when God does it, you go, wow. Look at what God did. And you see, the more that that happened, you'll praise him for it. Remember, what was Belshazzar's problem according to what the scripture said? Pride. Pride says, look at me. Pride says, look what I did. Pride says, check out my kingdom. Now, if we're honest, and I'm not asking for a show of hands on this one, there has been some time in your life when your pride has gotten you in trouble, whether at home, whether on your job, in your spiritual journey, there have been some times when you've stood up like Superman, because that's what you felt. And see what that meant? You know what happened? You started taking credit for what God had done in your life. And all of a sudden, you started believing. You became a legend in your own mind. And you stood up like Superman and said, I got this. And you know what happens when that takes place? God says, okay, you got it. And then you get run slap over. Your cape is stained. Your tights are picked. And you're like, what happened? Let me tell you what happened. You attempted it in your strength. You attempted it in your or for your glory, not God. Listen, I'd a whole lot rather God handle the situation. I'm pretty good at being a co-pilot. You know why? Because anytime I was ever in the co-pilot seat, I never had to fly because the pilot always had it. And you know, it's always good when things start looking bad to say, Lord, this looks a little bit rough. And see, when you look over to the pilot, he's not freaking out, is he? Where are my freaker outers? That's a good word. You get in a situation and you get spiritual attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. You start bouncing off the wall. Oh, what are we going to do? And God's like, man, just chill. I got this. Whoa back. Pull the brakes back a little bit. I can handle this. And the whole time, you're sitting there just like, you're ready to come unglued. God's like, I got it. Just let me handle it. And here's another one, too. I want you to stop doing this. Listen, stop trying to help God. You know, because all of a sudden what happens, God may point you. He starts getting you in that direction, and you go, okay, I got it from here, God. Stop it. Let God handle it. Enjoy the ride. And realize some biblical truths that we should be learning along the way. Listen, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your value shouldn't be in your stuff or your circumstances. Your value should be in your relationship and your walk with God. Another thing I want to remind you of is that we're only here for a vapor appearance compared to eternity. Life on this earth is that quick. You and I both have people on the other side enjoying what eternity has to offer, and we should be living for there, not here. I'm just passing through. So no matter how bad life gets right here, we have a home in glory. And we're going to be there a lot longer than here. We can't even wrap our minds around it. I always like to use this illustration in the song that says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I can't imagine 10,000 years, much less no less days. Sounds kind of cool, doesn't it? In the place where there's no sorrow, no tears, no dying, no darkness. Man, we should be looking forward to that. And listen, I know it's hard, but when we have to say goodbye to loved ones, it hurts, and the Lord understands that hurt. I've always said this, that there's two times in the Bible we see where Jesus wept. One time was when the triumphal entry, when he went into Jerusalem. The other time was when he saw the hurt of Mary and Martha when Lazarus passed away. Jesus wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. He knew what he was going to do to him. He saw how they were hurting. That's why he wept. Think about that for a minute. I think about what heaven will be. So when somebody steps out of this life into eternity, into glory, we really ought to be celebrating their life. Amen? Now listen, I get it. There's times I have tears at funerals. There's times when I hurt because you hurt. There's people that I miss that are already there. But I'll tell you this, if I could sit down and have a conversation with them, they would sit back and go, listen, you just do the best you can to follow the Lord while you're there. I'm not coming back, but like David said, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. Our past loved ones can't come back to us, but we can go where they are. I don't know about you, but I look more and more forward to that day as the time passes, when we won't be in the mess. So here's the question for today. Today, through the scripture, you have been weighed in the balance. What did God find? How did the scale tip? Remember what I said when we started today's message? I said, if you came listening for a blessing, if you came listening to the Lord, you're going to get something. You might sit back and say, you're the worst pastor I've ever heard in life. But that's okay. Let me tell you why. Because God's word does not return void. And it's not up to me. The Lord took these words today in your life, and he said something to you. If you were listening, he said something to you. What did he say? Maybe he's looking at you going, strike three. What's he saying to you? Now, you already know the answer to that question. If you're sitting there going, oh, what did God say to me today? You either weren't listening or you got an issue with communication between you and the Father. The Holy Spirit's already pinpointed it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you once again going to turn a deaf ear to what the Father's saying to you? Or are you going to deal with it this very day? And here's why I say that. Because you may not have another chance to make it right. Would that scripture say that? Very night, Belshazzar died. We're not promised our next breath. Every one of us has seen somebody and you've heard that they have gone on to be with the Lord, and you've said something like, we just had coffee yesterday, or I just talked to them out in the backyard last night. Wow. You've been weighed in the balance. What has God told you about the findings. Listen, if you need the Savior, maybe you've never trusted Jesus before. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing of things like this. Listen, it's not how good you are. I always have to say, let me tell you why I have to say this, because I deal with it every day when I talk to people. If I were to ask you the question, in your personal opinion, what do you understand that it takes for a person to go to heaven? You would not believe how many times people say, well, I'm a good person. That doesn't get you to heaven. I go to church. That doesn't get you to heaven either. The only thing that gets you to heaven is Jesus. That's it. Have you trusted him? Have you given your life to him? Brad, you guys come on up. Has there been that time in your life when you said, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner, and because I am a sinner, my eternal destination at this point is set for hell. When you're born, that's what it is. Because you're a sinner. You don't have to teach people how to do wrong, do you? That comes natural. You don't have to teach your three-year-old how to misbehave, do you? No, that comes natural. That's sin nature. One sin is all it takes to send you to hell without the blood of Jesus. And through his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, he has conquered sin, death, and hell. And today, he stands there and he says, I am offering you eternal life in the place called heaven. You choose door A, eternity in heaven. You got to trust me. Door B, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your choice. And some of us smart alecks will go, well, I refuse to choose the door. Well, you just chose one. You just chose door B. You have to choose Jesus. Has there been the time in your life when you said, Lord, I am a sinner. I confess that to you today. And Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me and to save me. If you need Jesus today, I'm begging you right where you are. Whisper this prayer in your heart to him. Lord, I am a sinner and I need you. Save my soul and help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what you just did? You just said, Lord, I'll take door A. And you know what he said? Come on down. Let's start heading in the direction of door A. It's a journey, isn't it? It's a difficult journey. By the way, this journey takes you up around hills and mountains and rocks and valleys and all kinds of places. This one is just a straight path, because remember what the word said? The word says, wide is the path that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way that leadeth to righteousness. And this is the path we want you on. It's fun. We can camp out together. We'll walk the journey together. If you trusted Jesus, please let us know today. We want to celebrate with you. We want to cheer you as you come and start your journey towards door A, because we're on that same path. It's not boring. It's a lot of fun if you do it right. But let us know. Don't be that person that goes, I just don't like to get up in front of a crowd. Is that what you say when somebody throws you a birthday party? I just don't like birthday parties because there's people around with gifts and sweets and cake. No. Hey, we're here to celebrate you. Please, please let us know if you trusted Jesus today. Maybe you're here today, and here's the really interesting part. You heard every word the Holy Spirit said. You know exactly what he told you about being weighed in the balances, and you know there's some stuff you need to handle. I don't know what it is, but you do. I'm asking you right now to deal with that. If you need this altar's here. If you need me, I'm here. But whatever it is the Lord's put on your heart, deal with it right. Quit ignoring. Quit turning the other way. Deal with it today, because you may not have tomorrow. Do it now as we stand and sing our invitation hymn number 282, Living for Jesus. your head's bowed, your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you this. Can you say that you have dealt with the message God has given you today? Don't turn away from it. Don't run from it. You've been weighed in the balance. What was found out? What's God asked you to do? Have you done it? Today is truly the day. As you continue to seek Him, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you. And Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. Lord, today, may we have heard the Holy Spirit in an incredible way in our lives. May we have made adjustments that needed to be made. And Lord, may we receive the encouragement that you have for each and every one who follows you. So Lord, as we come to this time where we continue our worship by giving back to you that little bit of what you have so richly blessed us with, may we be truly found faithful in doing so. And Lord, may we be wise in our stewardship with what belongs to you. So Lord, bless this gift, bless the giver as only you can. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Billy. Just let me give you a couple things before we get out of here today. A couple of birthdays going on. Today, Mark Boone. And, of course, he's already slipped out of here. But if you can catch him. Oh, there he is. He's waiting on the checks and the cake and the hugs and all that stuff. Mark, he's usually walking our offering. But there's Mark. He's got a birthday today. I think he said he turned 45, wasn't it? Close. Okay. All right. But hug his neck and just get him to all blush and everything because he's a sweetie, but we love him. Happy birthday, Mark. This coming Wednesday, Rachel Cazito, Dr. John's daughter, will be having a birthday this coming Wednesday, the 29th. So as you have an opportunity, let these folks know that you're thinking about them, that you love them, and that you're glad that they're in your life. Let me tell you about what we've got going on today. My discipleship group meets its normal spot, 3:30 this afternoon. Choir practice right here, 4:45. Choir practice. Come on, guys. That looks like him, doesn't it? Just wait. All I can say is just wait. Choir practice right here, 4:45. Then Awana. Tonight is Awana party night. Awana party night as we wind down our year. Next Sunday night will be our final night of Awana this year at Ward's Assembly. 6 o'clock, we normally have Pastor David doing our adult Bible study down the hall. We will not have that tonight because David's got to be tending to Donna, who is in the hospital. We'll let David tell you a little bit about her as he closes in prayer in just a minute. But do continue to pray for and remember Donna in your prayers. She's been in the hospital with pneumonia. David will give us an update here in just a minute. So no adult Bible study tonight. 7 o'clock, wind ensemble practice with our very own Jim. So, hey, man, who said church is not fun, right? We want you to know who these folks are. So, Jim Kreider, if you're part of the wind ensemble, do we want to say 7, since there's no Bible study tonight? 7 o'clock, unless you hear otherwise from Jim. 7 o'clock. You've just heard otherwise from Jim. 7 o'clock. There we go. All right. Listen, mark your calendar. We do have some future events coming up that are important. The month of May is always a very, very busy month around Central Baptist Church. So we got a few things that are on the calendar. Next Sunday is going to be our first responder appreciation, where we recognize our police and firefighters because we appreciate what they do. We always want them to know how much we love them and appreciate them and support them. That will be next Sunday right here. So we're looking forward to that. I believe Oak Ridge is going to bring one of their trucks over. Rick is going to be here with his motor right out front, probably out of the sunshine or out of the whatever weather conditions it may be for representing our sheriff's department. So be sure to be here as we honor them next week. Then May the 3rd, which is next Sunday night, is our final awards night for our Awana. That's when the awards are presented. That'll be over in the building next door. Are we still doing that at 5:30, or are we going to do that at 6? 5:30. Okay, so it will be 5:30, our normal Awana time. May the 6th, ladies, that's your next Connections meeting right here in the Family Life Center. So it'll be May 6th. May the 10th, we'll actually be doing Mother's Day appreciation. And we're probably going to have a little something back there for you like we did at Easter, coffee, a little something for you to snack on, have some fellowship time. We're not canceling Sunday school. So what will happen is if you take your biscuit and you walk into one of those Sunday school classes, you're going to be a part of Sunday school that day. So we trapped you on purpose, right? Paul says you can come sit in his class and eat your biscuit, right? So come on down at May the 10th. That will be on Mother's Day. We'll recognize moms. Then May the 12th, we have our bi-monthly blood drive right here starting at 6:45. If you can be a part of that as far as donating, or you can let Katie know if you can help in any way. May 13th, ladies, that's your monthly Connections breakfast. That'll be over at Cagney's. So that's your monthly breakfast on the 13th at 9 o'clock a.m. And then be sure to be here for homecoming, May the 17th. That is our homecoming. We will have a special guest, Gary, it kind of flounders on the name. We don't know. We'll just call it Gary and the boys. They'll be here to do some picking. They'll do a couple of songs for us in our Sunday morning service, and then we will have our time of fellowship over there, and they're going to play for some over there, too. You're going to love it. I think it's going to be a wonderful time as we celebrate another year as Central Baptist Church. So I think that's about got it all, with the exception of the fact that you'll notice the baby bottles are out in the back. What we usually do is we put those out between Mother's Day and Father's Day. If you choose to participate, you can pick one of those baby bottles up. You can put loose change in that. We will collect those bottles on Father's Day or the week or so after that. What this money does, it goes to our crisis pregnancy center. It pays for ultrasounds for ladies who are considering an abortion. The number, particularly here in Greensboro, is the number. I'll get to that one in just a second. The number here in Greensboro is the upper 90 percentile of girls who have that ultrasound choose life over abortion. So that's where your change goes that you put in those baby bottles. We'll collect that between Mother's Day and Father's Day. We'll get that to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. It goes straight to them. So yeah, if you give us a bottle of change, we're not going to count it. It's not going through Central Baptist. It's going straight to the Crisis Pregnancy Center. And just remember this, everything you put in there, that ultrasound, 90 plus, upper 90 percentile of the ladies who have this ultrasound choose not to abort their baby when they get a chance to see it. So that's where that goes. D-Life groups, okay? Steve Kelly's D-Life group will meet on Monday here at its normal time, 6 o'clock, followed by Mari. Her group meets at their house at 6:30. Again, if you're curious about D-Life or want to be a part of a discipleship group, we want to encourage you. Talk to myself, talk to Steve. We can get you in a group. It is a ton of fun. If you get a bunch of guys like Mark and Eddie and Steve and all those guys together, and they haven't killed each other and they're growing spiritually, that tells you right there, it's a great, great day, right? Amen. Pastor David, come up, tell us about Donna, give us an update on her, and then see us off in a word of prayer. Guys, I love you and appreciate you.
Thank you. For those of you who knew she was there for praying for her, she's in the hospital at Forsyth. She's got pneumonia. She is getting better. We had hoped she'd come home Saturday. That's not happening, so we'll see what it takes to get rid of the pneumonia, get her back off of her oxygen, and get her cleared up. Hopefully, early this week, we'll see it happen. Thank you so much for praying for us. Also, this week, this Thursday, is the time that we're going to have our meeting with those of you who have signed up for Camp Carefree. 68 Country Barbecue down here off of 68 is where we're going to be. We're going to be there at 4 o'clock. We have two sign-up sheets out there. One is to sign up to work at Camp Carefree. The other is to sign up for the dinner. I need for you to sign up today for the dinner because I need to kind of tell them how many people we're expecting. So you won't pay anything for your meal. You can order from the menu, like our senior adult meal that we had just recently. It's free. So thank you for you working at Camp Carefree, but it's also an opportunity for let you see ahead of time what the menu's going to look like and talk about some of the things that we're doing. So sign up where you need to sign up, and we're looking forward to seeing you Thursday. Let me lead you as we pray. Our Father, we're so thankful for your love for us. We're thankful for the privilege we have of being called your children. And Lord, we're thankful that you're such a wonderful God of grace that you give us a choice. You give us an opportunity not to sin away our day of grace. Lord, give us the wisdom that we need. Help us to get in your word and study it and understand that you are constantly pursuing us. Lord, help us to yield our lives completely to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.